Welcome, Pavs, to the 117th episode of the Nerd Extravaganza Podcast, where lifestyles of the rich and famous are seldom discussed. I'm Tom.
I'm Eric.
I'm Brian.
And while I mention that lifestyles of the rich and famous are seldom discussed, that does not mean they are never discussed, because our very own Eric, having recently been promoted to the Emperor of Wealth, will tonight be discussing with us everything he's going to do with his newfound wealth. But before we talk about Eric's ascension to the 1%, let's kick things off in our usual style with our weekly geekly update. Eric, since you are now rich and therefore rule the country, why don't you go first?
Yeah, let's start by quantifying that a little bit. I am in no way rich. I would argue that you are richer than I am by a landslide, Tom. I'm still a teacher. I was promoted recently, and I can announce that on the podcast now. So I did get a district-level job, which I'm really, really happy about. However, it doesn't come with much of a pay raise over a teacher, so let's not get too excited, although it does make for a great episode topic. I actually haven't even started the position yet. They are waiting to fill my current position, which I will have to train, and then I'll be on my way. But it hasn't been much of a nerdy week for me. Between work starting again and some unfortunate news with some friends and a loss in one of the families, I have not really gotten around to doing much nerdy stuff.
Sorry to hear that, Erica. It is a mutual friend who has suffered that loss, and we are, of course, sorry to hear about such things. I will say in your own nerdy defense, though, that you did get promoted from one science education position to an even higher level science education position, which is pretty nerdy.
It is, yeah. I mean, we tend to leave that aspect out, and I try to interject it here and there, but we forget that. And to be honest, this is one of those things my brother would always argue with me to death about, that our podcast should technically be called Geek Extravaganza and not Nerd Extravaganza, and he will argue that to the bitter end. And for the listeners, my brother is the Godzilla expert that's been on here a few times.
Yeah, but I, in our defense, as a comeback to your brother who's not here to offer any sort of an argument, I think we do talk about nerdy and geeky things, don't you think so, Brian?
Yeah, I feel that, you know, there is a textbook definition of each, but I think most people tend towards, like, 50-50-isms.
Yeah, I agree. And plus, I mean, we do hit on books, we hit on science from time to time, we hit on community outreach. I think that's kind of the nerdy aspect.
Yeah, and everybody knows whenever you've got a group of male and female, the default is guys. So it is with nerds and geeks. When they're together, you've got nerds. That may be gendered and nerd-sogenistic, but that's just the way things work in our language.
I do kind of like Geek Ganza, though.
Hey, maybe we could do like a spin-off podcast and split this into two.
So we can do one that's totally like book learning centric and the other one that's completely, well, I don't know, where do comic books fall?
In between.
Nerdy. Yeah, I mean, the definition that I always hear is that if you're a nerd, you're very much into educating yourself on everything, knowing a little bit about everything or a lot about everything, and just well-educated, your nose is always in a book, you're always in after more information, you're an information sponge. Whereas if you're a geek, you know a ton about one really specific, completely nonsensical thing.
Yeah. I think we fit both bills. So look for our new line of podcasts, each of which occupy a single strata, if that's the single, no, a single stratum of nerdiness or geekiness, I guess.
I would argue that us arguing vocabulary brings us right back around to Nerd Extravaganza.
Awesome! Then we can continue with the show. Anything else, sir?
That's about it.
All right. Brian, over to you, sir.
I was locked in front of the computer for most of last week. I guess it'll be old news by the time this airs, but during my week, all of the Gen Con news and breaking stories and pictures were rolling in. So I was pretty into Gen Con this year, not being able to attend it, but I wanted to learn everything about it. And then Saturday, I attended a I'm not able to attend Gen Con at AGS, which was kind of fun. A lot of different card gaming, board gaming, tabletop gaming going on there.
Awesome. Pretty much rounded out for you?
That's mostly it, yeah. I picked up a copy of Star Realms at that event, actually. And I'll mention that, because Star Realms is awesome, and you guys should play it.
Yeah, just don't play against our friend Cameron, because you'll just lose over and over again. But it's fun other than that. I guess that comes to me then. Yeah, Star Realms, which I also played at the same event you were at, the I'm Not a Gen Con event, hosted at the Adventure Game Store, one of our favorite gaming haunts. Enjoyed my time there. And apart from that, went and saw Guardians of the Galaxy again. Second viewing of that film. I love it. And still playing some more Pop LaCroix, I guess you pronounce the S, on the PlayStation Portable, a port of a game I played all in Japanese the first time around on the PlayStation. A beautiful hand-drawn, turn-based RPG.
Who pronounces the S? I don't think that's proper.
I thought not as well, but in the game, they pronounce, when there is voice acting, they pronounce the S, so I guess it's pronounced.
They pronounce it Marquis, too, so I'm not going to go with that.
So let's not rely on American voice actors for accuracy and correctness?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. So Pop LaCroix, or Pop LaCroix, as you like, for the PlayStation Portable. Now available on Universal Media Disc, which, as we know, can be used on a variety of devices besides a PlayStation Portable.
Papa Locrois.
Yeah, I do love that they've always called it Universal.
People give like Nintendo a bunch of crap for like cartridges and stuff, but Sony has every bit as much hubris. Like, check out this Universal Media, which only works on our device. Good old Sony. Anyway, I think that rounds out my update and brings me into the topic for the evening, which was motivated, as we mentioned, by Eric's recent promotion. Of course, I was exaggerating his newfound wealth, but it got us thinking, what would we do if we suddenly became rich? Now, there's the predictable things everybody would do, but we, of course, want to put our own nerdy and or geeky spin on it, depending on what audience we're trying to cater to tonight. I don't know if we're going to cater to Eric's brother or not. But basically, the way I was thinking we'd go about it, or the way I'll go about it, you guys can freeform it however you want, is I will imagine like the immediate aftershocks of like, wow, I'm suddenly rich. Then kind of go out a few weeks to months, what I'll do, maybe out to a year, you know, how my lifestyle changes in the immediate term. And then maybe discuss what my big, huge, audacious, like world-changing, geeky dream come true might be, building a Death Star, that sort of thing. Does that sound like a format you guys can agree with?
Yeah, that works for me.
I can do that.
Okay. If not, feel free to just completely toss it and do whatever you want, because we are free form on the Geekstravaganza podcast. Or whoops, Nerdstravaganza podcast.
I don't see why it's an issue anyway, because who has honestly not fantasized about that? Like, I don't even play the lotto, and I have what would I do if I won the lotto fantasies.
Right. Yeah. Like all the time. So I think our fantasies are going to be cooler for our audience because it's stuff that they would all probably do as well. And I guess I'll kick things off since I was running my mouth about the format. Let's hope I stick to it. Right, so I suddenly come into a substantial amount of wealth and I no longer have to worry about the day-to-day things I have to worry about. I immediately proceed to not quit my job and screw with my employer for a while. Oh my god, if my employer actually listens to this, I will be out of a job, I guess, but oh well. In a benign way, I pull kind of an office space, like, not serious, jokey sort of caper, I guess, on the office, and eventually, and politely probably ask what's going on, and then I reveal, look, I won the lottery, sorry, I'm just having fun, I gotta quit now. I think that's a fair way to leave work. That's not geeky, but I want to be clear, while I'm pulling off that little I don't give a crap caper at work, I'm doing geeky stuff. I'm decorating my cubicle with expensive action figures. I'm bringing in portable gaming systems and playing them. I'm not damaging any corporate assets, but I'm definitely introducing a lot of work inappropriate geeky fun to the office. So that's how I get through my quitting work phase. Do you guys want to kind of jump in with your, like, I'm quitting my day-to-day, or do you want me to just go on?
No, I'll jump in with mine, actually. I've thought a lot about this one. And admittedly, I've been at the same school up until this promotion for over 11 years. And it has become kind of a sense of family there, and I have dumped a lot of my heart into it. That said, there is no way in hell I am going to be one of those, I'm going to keep doing my job people. That's just not happening. I wouldn't walk off. Basically, here's what I would do. I would give my notice so that they could replace me properly, because I wouldn't want to leave the kids out to dry. I would then make a large donation under the understanding that it would be used to make the Leitner Science Center at that school.
Nice.
And then I would walk away.
I like it. That's nice. That's a very, what's the word I'm looking for? Altruistic thing to do?
Yeah. I had a hard time realizing that it would be impossible to get back. And honestly, depending on the sum of money and knowing how hard teachers work, and how little we get paid in return, I even considered giving every employee there a substantial bonus.
That'd be cool. I could see myself taking, like, my entire department out for, like, a meal as I left, too. Because I work in the private sector.
Yeah, everyone gets a sandwich, not a bonus. Is it, well, a free sandwich is kind of a bonus.
Well, it's the private sector. So, you know, private sector rewards are a little less generous, as we know. I would take the CEO out to a vacation in the Bahamas, but the average worker would get a tuna sandwich, yeah.
That's pretty much how that works, yeah.
Right. What about you, Brian? You've just struck it rich, and you can leave your day-to-day. You have any grand plans for that, or...?
I would actually do the exact opposite. I would immediately go out and get jobs I didn't care about.
You would get hired
at
jobs?
I'd work at Foot Locker. And I would dress people like idiots. Dude, no, it looks great. That's going to be the next big thing this season.
Now, here's the question. You would kind of be screwing with people, but you would also... You might provide the best customer service you've ever provided because, like, you really don't need the job. There's no pressure. And you're just rich. Like, in the back of your mind, you know, hey, man, I'm rich.
I don't think I would, like, you know, punch anybody in the nuts or anything like that. I wouldn't, you know, be vindictive. But, yeah, I would probably give people, like, a story to tell on Reddit or something like that or... complain to their friends or something.
I like it. Okay, so we would all exit day-to-day employment in a somewhat memorable fashion, it sounds like. Now, let's get past that. The first couple weeks have passed. You've transitioned away from a day-to-day working slob life to your new life of a rich person. My next instinct is to take a year, because I just think I would deserve a year, or I would need a year, to come to grips with the fact that I don't have to do a damn thing. And I would proceed to spend an entire year just pursuing leisure activities around my home. I don't think I'd upgrade my lifestyle substantially. I don't think I'd go out and buy a bunch of stuff. I think I'd hang around, play some games, sleep in, hang out with friends, enjoy my life for a while. And I would do that for 1 year. That would be my dormant phase, let's say, before I emerge from my cocoon as a world conqueror. What about you, Eric?
I would literally travel the next week, and I wouldn't be back for minimum of 2 years. And that said, and this is going to be the ultimate nerdy aspect of this, if I could private jet this whole thing, I mean, I don't know what sum of money, so we're just assuming it's, like, endless.
Right.
My cats are coming with me.
That's great.
They're absolutely coming with me. I don't care. I am going to be the eccentric traveling nut job who travels with his cats everywhere. And for the record, they're going to have, like, servants and eat out of crystal goblets.
I would almost think you could have a little more fun. Is that, like, furry fun? Anyway, I would almost think you could have a little more fun flying commercial. Because, like, hey, I want to bring my cat on. Oh, sir, well, we have X, Y, and Z rules. How much money does it take for me not to have those rules? And the next thing you know, Oscar and Hazel are, like, riding in first class in seats of their own.
Well, I have to reveal this now, because this is something that actually could already happen. I am the nut job, with Oscar anyway. And for those listeners who don't know, Oscar is the greatest cat on the planet.
Yes.
Who took the time to fill out the paperwork and just ask my doctor to go ahead, and my doctor had no issue doing it. My cat is a service animal.
What?
And most people are not aware that I've done this, because I just wanted to do it to do it. Oscar is 100% a mental health service animal, which means he can go wherever the hell he wants. If I want to walk into Publix or something with Oscar, if I want to take him to the movies, I am legally allowed to do that.
I dig it. Okay, so you've got service animal Oscar, and you're now rich, and you're traveling. Where do you go? Like, put a geeky spin on the places you visit.
First place I've always wanted to visit, and this is the obvious nerd destination, is Japan. I have always wanted to make a trip to Japan. My brother's had that opportunity. A lot of friends have had that opportunity. I have not. Partly because school teacher wages, and partly because I really am dreading the amount of travel by plane involved being in, like, a coach seat.
Oof.
But I think the idea of having Oscar, like, in a backpack, Pokemon style, would be spectacular. If I just walked around with him like he was my own Pikachu, just all over Japan. Although, again, obviously their laws don't match our laws, so I don't think he's a service animal in Japan.
Oh.
But I would fight for that. I figure if I'm rich, there's really no issue with taking my cat wherever the hell I want.
You could dress him as, like, a lucky cat, put, like, a little symbol on him and stuff.
Yeah, the ultimate goal is for him to have a statue right next to that famous Japanese dog, whose name eludes me right now. One of you guys has to know this thing. They made a movie about it recently.
Oh, Yukinuba.
Sure, why not? No, I don't think that's it. That doesn't even sound Japanese. Well, it kind of does.
Isn't that a brand of dog food, Yukinuba or something? That's what I was going for.
Yeah, they both are.
Okay, that fits the bill. Having your cat enshrined and visiting Japan, I assume, to go to all the cool, geeky sites there. Brian, now what are you going to do in, like, the next year or two after quitting?
I would travel. I'd like to see the States first. And I would map my trip based on cons. I would just live in the hotels and hit every single con.
I dig it. So you would just run the whole con circuit, like just staying in posh hotel rooms and just enjoy every single con out there.
Yeah, and you know, the week or whatever between cons, I just explore whatever city I'm in.
That's awesome. You guys are more ambitious than I am. I mean, I think I might join you on the road if you would have me, since we all struck it rich together somehow, later. But I would need that year to veg out before that. And then I would probably do a spot of traveling and meet up with you guys somewhere.
My U.S. tour is a little different, because this is actually a childhood fantasy one that would definitely get lived out. And I would be sure to bring my brother, who shared this fantasy, and my nephew, because he could live it as a child, which is fantastic. And that is, get a RV, and in this instance we're loaded, we're going to get a tour bus with a driver, and hit every roller coaster in the country.
Sweet. Put me down for that trip. Brian, would you, if we were in a town with a roller coaster and you were attending a con, would you, like, come hang with us?
Oh, yeah.
Man, there's so many, like, do everythings in the U.S. that I didn't even give it thought. I might have to cut my year of lounging short to, like, 6 months.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the roller coaster trip would probably include a stop at every giant food to take a picture next to the statue of giant food. Because, like, just about every Midwestern city has, like, their claim to fame is, like, we have the world's largest peanut, which actually isn't a peanut, but a statue of a peanut or a strawberry or peach or whatever. I would need a picture next to all of those.
That's awesome, man. The number of, like, scavenger hunt style trips you can embark on, like, I want to stand in front of every Miss Pac-Man machine I can all around the country, is probably limitless. And since you now have limitless time and money, you could do that sort of thing. See, I don't understand why rich people claim they're not happy or claim that they're bored. You could just geek out for the rest of your life.
You could probably pull off a career doing that without being a millionaire, though. Because that would be a blog people follow.
Ah, so we might be able to strike it rich by just striking out on our own and doing this.
Or at least strike it comfortable.
Yeah, strike it, not starving. That's fair to say.
Yeah, there was actually a blog of some guy who toured, like, the entire United States with $1,000.
Wow.
Now, admittedly, part of that was the fact that he had the blog, so people were willing to put him up in their homes or, you know, give him food just so they could be in it.
Right, so he wasn't, like, just, like, a shambling bum or something with $1,000 in his pocket. He actually was charismatic or something.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's cool. There was a famous person recently did a hitchhiking trip from coast to coast. I know him by face, but not by name. But he was the type of guy who I think was recognizable by face to a lot of people, so he got, like, picked up by non-axe murderers for the most part. And he, I believe, hitchhiked from the East Coast to the West Coast or something like that. Or vice versa, but that would... There you go. So we could embark on trips like that to our heart's content. And, of course, overseas destinations, I would definitely visit Japan because it has a bunch of geeky... What, let's just say shrines to nerddom or geekdom, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that and like Hong Kong. There's a few stops in Europe, actually, that aren't... that I would definitely want to include just because they have really bizarre museums, and I love that kind of stuff.
Ah, nice.
Which I've been to one of them in Austria, in Vienna, Austria. There is a really weird taxidermy museum, which for the most part is normal until you get to, like, the last two rooms. And this is... Let me say that again. These are the two rooms where they just took all the leftover animal parts and made new animals out of them. And it's really messed up.
Oh, the chimera room?
Yeah, it's completely a chimera room. It starts off basic. Like, you're like, oh, there's a jackalope. That makes sense because I've seen that and stuff. By the end, it's like an elephant with zebra legs and, like, horns.
In other words, George Lucas's dream come true.
Yeah, based on our Jar Jar story from last week.
Yes, yes, yes. Awesome. All right, so let's say that we satisfy our desire to travel and lounge and what have you. And now it's time to seriously consider what impact we're going to have on the world with our wealth. Now, of course, there's all the charitable giving that I think we would do, and there's the, like, hooking up friends and all this other stuff, but what is your dream business or contribution or just nerdy, I don't want to use the word shrine again, but shrine to your wealth? You know, you want to collect every NES tape ever made, you want to open an amusement park, that sort of thing. An obvious one for me, and this is probably not showing a great deal of imagination, but that would be to open the sort of barcade that everybody dreams of and trick it out like nobody's business.
Yeah, I've had that fantasy aside from the bar part because I don't drink, but I know that's basically what you need to lure people in. I might go coffee shop arcade.
That would work, carcade.
Yeah.
What about you, Brian?
I've always wanted a character cafe.
So the staff are dressed in character.
Yeah.
They're cosplaying, essentially.
Yeah, cosplaying and acting. Yeah, I guess that's cosplaying. Yeah, the whole deal.
I like that. I like that idea a lot. So, would you... Let's see. You've got limitless money to work with. So, as I envision a place like that, and I'm kind of glad we settle on a similar idea here, at least for a moment... I think I would, like, totally trick out the decor and interactive experience. Like, I would like, totally Disney World the hell out of it. With, like, cool, like, animatronic interactive pieces and settings and that kind of thing. In addition to having the costumed staff.
I would have impossible food and drink.
Ah.
Like, I would have, like, red glowy liquids that, is this beer? No, it'll get you drunk, but it's not really beer. It's a chemical concoction. Is that why it's bubbling? Yeah, that's why it bubbles.
So the fair itself would be an attraction, so to speak.
Yeah.
Awesome.
See, now that's something I would serve at what I would want to create, which is a science-based theme park.
Oh!
So two things that I love are amusement park rides... and any kind of theme park, and science. And it always boggled my mind. And don't get me wrong, some of the parks offer this as a school-based thing, and it's behind the scenes, and people just don't know it. Busch Gardens, for example, I know offers it, where you can take field trips out there, and they give you motion sensors and so on to take on the ride, so you can measure the forces put upon your body while you're riding a roller coaster, which is cool. And then you can send the data back home via email and analyze it back at school and so on. But if you really had the money, the amount of technology that can be punched into these things, I mean, has got to be mind-blowing, and I don't see why you wouldn't do that. Because I look at how excited kids get, and even adults get, when they go to, like, the little science museums, because, let's face it, they're never anything more than little science museums. Now, combine that with just pure ride insanity, and I don't see how you could lose.
Yeah, I think you could motivate science learning a lot by immersing people in, like, an experience they would never forget. You know, I dare say you could motivate a generation of future scientists.
Yeah, that's my thought process on it. I mean, the idea is, again, make learning fun. And, I mean, what's more fun than a theme park?
Nothing. But if we could stretch the definition of learning, I've got another theme park variation for you. LARP World, which is a live-action role-playing theme park. Now, I have never LARPed, because the notion of sitting in, like, a hot park in Fort Lauderdale with a bunch of people pretending stuff is going on just doesn't appeal to me. But entering LARP World as an adventurer and having, like, all of the cast and the staff and the animatronics and the people in costume as part of my adventure as I quest in this theme park, that I could get into.
The question is, do you show up in costume, or do they provide costume, like, based on rental?
That's just it. You could show up with your own costume, or they will outfit you with, like, armor of your choosing and that sort of thing. It's a whole experience. It's like, you show up, if you have nothing, they will totally, like, get you kitted out and send you out to find your adventure. Of course, families could go together, you could go on your own, like, however you want to do it, LARP World. And it's not just like you, like, slugging it out and doing fireball, throwing tennis balls. It's interactive combat. It's interactive experiences. There's probably rides incorporated. God knows theme park rides are very popular with the fantasy crowd. Just look at the new Hobbit movies. I think it could be cool.
If they're included in this, if there is a sci-fi area where everyone is equipped with laser tag equipment, I'm all for it.
You got it, buddy. What do you think, Brian? You going to hang out in LARP World, sci-fi, and or fantasy, and or old western, and or steampunk?
Wasn't there, like, a horrible movie about a western world not going very well once upon a time?
I don't remember that. I mean, there was a Dungeons & Dragons cartoon where the theme park kids fell into Dungeons & Dragons.
Wait, wasn't that Westworld? Yeah, it was Westworld.
I was trying to invoke that, but...
Yeah.
Let's leave Western out in that case. I don't remember Westworld, but any other genre that doesn't immediately lead to memories of a bad movie.
I think a sci-fi world with laser tag would be actually really easy to do.
The reality is, if you want a Western LARPing experience, just move to Russia or Florida.
Wait, explain that?
The reality is that Florida... Out of the U.S., anyway. Florida is the closest thing we still have to a Wild West. It really is. We have some really bizarre laws that make things just like... It's the reason why 90% of the insane news comes out of Florida. And then from everything I've seen in Russia, it's the Wild West all the time, just without the guns. They're just beating each other instead of shooting each other.
Yeah, but you don't make Florida or... Russia sound very fun. I don't know if this is something I would pay to go to.
I would pay for either of those. I mean, I live in Florida, and while it's sometimes nightmarish and people do complain about it, I kind of like the idea that I live in the place where all the bananas news comes from.
It's true, and you know what? The sad thing is about Florida, we're, like, about to be, if we are not already, the number 3 state in population, which means the 3rd largest state in the union is the most crazy. That's kind of scary.
It is. And the irony is that we are also the one with all the theme parks.
Right. Which is why LARP World will be right at home here in Florida. By the way, LARP World will also be domed and air-conditioned, so no need to worry about heat.
That is the theme park dream.
Oh my gosh. You know, it's not... Let me restate that. No, I don't need to restate it. It's not out of the realm of the possibility for people with more money than sense. As you may have heard, the rich, I believe, Emiratis over in the UAE or Dubai, or if Dubai is part of the UAE. Sorry, my geography is failing me. Okay, great. Yeah. You have heard, I'm sure, that they are actually talking about like just building like a mini air-conditioned city, right? With like theme attractions as well as shopping and entertainment inside, right?
Where do I sign up?
Exactly. You sign up by winning this lottery we're talking about so you can afford to buy in.
All I watch is like sci-fi and even the Simpsons movie where like they put a dome over a city and it's nightmarish and terrible and everyone wants to escape it. And I'm like, that sounds great.
Why does it have to be nightmarish? I mean, you can still leave the dome. You're not trapped. It's just like it doesn't get like hot and nasty.
Okay, well, they were trapped in the Simpsons movie, so.
Of course they were. Brian, what do you think about this Epcot-like extension of our theme park? Would you be cool with, like, a climate-controlled city?
Well, I think one of the complaints about the one that you're talking in particular is it's actually going to destroy the rest of the world's environment powering the air conditioner.
Okay, I wonder about that. Now, Eric, I'm not saying you're, like, an engineer or, like, somebody who studies power systems, but... You're somewhat science-minded, and I know you can at least keep me honest here when I say this. I think air conditioners just run off of electricity, right? They don't require electricity plus or anything special. They just require electric juice. Is that correct?
Right. So the real question is, where does the electricity come from? Because to be honest, pumping the heat out of a city and into the rest of the environment isn't going to make a substantial amount of change in the climate around that dome. It just isn't. That heat's going to rise up fairly rapidly. And as long as we're not continuing the greenhouse effect, if that dome, let's say, ran on solar energy or wind power, it wouldn't have that much of an impact.
Right. And couldn't you capture the resulting heat and just pipe it back into whatever system is used to heat the turbines? I understand it wouldn't be enough to boil water, which is essentially what you have to do, I think. Although, solar doesn't work by turbine spinning, does it?
No, it doesn't.
I would think that there would be some way to even contain the heat and put it to some use.
If we're going solar first, I'm all for it. But if we're, you know, burning coal or what have you to generate the electricity, not such a huge fan.
Okay, yeah, let's go solar first, and let's have the heat run through ductwork throughout the city, which heats up your hot water. So everybody has like warm water filter. You know, instead of a hot water heater, you've just got this like exhaust heat from the air conditioning system heating everyone's water. I don't know if it gets hot enough to do that, but that's my pie in the sky dream.
It's not impossible. Again, it would just add to that. Obviously, it wouldn't be enough to heat everyone's water, but that heat could be used. And that's always the catch-22 when it comes to energy. And, you know, people go, oh, conserving energy. You know, we have to conserve energy, which is a term science just loves. Because there's no way to not conserve energy. In fact, there's a law.
Right. Does it have to do with the conservation of energy, Eric?
Yeah, something to do with that.
Huh.
The first law of thermodynamics. That said, what we're really trying to conserve is usable energy. Useful energy. And in that sense, if we can make the waste energy, or what we consider waste energy, into something useful, it's a non-issue.
Right, I gotta think there's a use for hot air. Right. Besides powering politicians and news pundits.
Right, and like you said, it won't be enough to do everything perfectly, because there's always loss in any energy system. And that loss is usually in the form of heat. Because even if we piped that heat back in, the heat is going to transfer to the pipes. You're going to lose energy that way. The heat is going to transfer to anything else it touches, basically.
But you're not just venting it out into the atmosphere without at least trying to put it to some use, right?
Correct.
Okay, cool. So I like where we've gotten to with this. We are now kind of creating we're kickstarting the solar future by building our awesome city, theme park, whatever this thing is. LARP World town. And climate controlling it, and with the limitless energy we're getting from the sun. And man, the sun just dumps all this energy on us. Why wouldn't we use it? And we will now have the money to build the gathering facilities to get ourselves all this power. Now, I don't know about storing it for nighttime use, but we'll have money to get that done too somehow.
You know, going back to a point you made earlier about, like, the obvious, like, oh, we're all going to give money to certain charities and we're all going to, you know, give our friends some money and things like that. I don't know if I would dump so much money into charity as I would go, look, I know the only reason that science is being held back in the community is because you complain about funding and where people's jobs are going to be. So here's billions of dollars. Just do it.
Right, right. I think that's kind of what, like, Elon Musk is doing, right? He is throwing money at solving problems where... So there's no, not my tax dollars, like, objection to the things he's doing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of what we talked about earlier, I'd really like to point out what a fucking nerd fest we made this.
Yeah, right. This one took a nice little nerd, you know, detour.
I seriously thought we were going to, like, talk about cosplay and anime and how we would, like, have a harem of chicks wearing different colored wigs every night or something. You know, like the typical, like, 16-year-old basement dweller's fantasy. But this has taken a very positive turn. I'm proud of us.
I think we get to keep our name.
The amazing part about having that much money is that what you suggested, like the harem of cosplay girls, you get that without actually having to spend any of the money.
I'm pretty sure they just show up. Like, oh, he's into geeky stuff. We better get over there. And, like, wherever these harem girls come from, they just, like, materialize. Like, hey, we're here for duty. Oh, how did you guys know? Don't worry, we got your back. And then, boom, there's your harem.
Yeah, like, as long as they get to hang out in a cool place, like a domed science theme park, they don't really care.
Can I torture our nerd extravaganza name just a little bit and go down this harem road just a tiny bit? I know this is going to just totally shoot in the backside all the credibility this episode had, but if you guys will just permit me.
Yeah, because, I mean, the one thing that nerds and geeks are not familiar with or are really strong on the subject matter is girls, I think.
Right. So these girls, I guess they're called, are going to come to your house, your massive domed city mansion, what have you. I don't just want them to be, like, hot cosplay chicks, and this is probably asking a lot. I also want them to, like, be working on the research projects. Like, I want them to be really smart, too. So that might narrow the scope of my harem, but I actually, I wouldn't mind some bright chicks in my harem, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
So you want highly intelligent, highly attractive women?
Yeah, who for some reason are content to just, like, share me among themselves.
Well, they can work on the power problem. They can be your science team.
Of course, I'm giving them limitless money to fund their passion, which is their research. They would naturally love me for it, right? Right?
Sure. I mean, here, I don't want to get sexist, because the truth is this reality exists on both sides. I think when you reach a certain level of intelligence, you stop really caring what you look like. I feel that there is something proportional about that. And inversely, I guess, proportional about that.
Disheveled mad scientists can be hot.
They can be, but the problem is they're not going to dress the part that I hope Tom, or I think Tom, is wanting them to dress.
Well, now I'm thinking like Michelle Pfeiffer from the second Batman movie, which she was pretty hot.
She was an imaginary character.
She was a scientist with messed up hair.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Poison Ivy was a scientist
right.
as well.
Right!
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting that these women go into, these PhD doctors who are in my employ dress up for merely for my amusement. I'm just saying, like, with all my vast resources, I could, like, put out feelers and get people in my circle who are passionate about science and learning and who are also into cosplay. I think I could get those women for my staff. And look, I would employ women because that's who I fancy, but I'm not saying that, you know, if there were a woman in our group who also achieved this wealth with us, maybe she'd like a harem of, like, hunky dudes. I mean, that's cool. I'm not also trying to be sexist.
So you're going to employ scientists the same way that restaurants employ hostesses?
No, they're going to do actual science, but then they're also going to, like, cosplay.
Well, I mean, the hostesses actually take me to my table and suffer the defeat of not getting tips.
I'm not going to tip the scientists. They make a lot of money. They're like PhDs, dude.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I was making the point that, you know, restaurants tend to hire women who definitely can do the job of hostess, which, for the record, is not necessarily just a gimme of a job, because I've met plenty of people where I was like, wow, I hope you're never a hostess, because you're just angry and miserable. However, that said, there's definitely a form that they're filling out physically and not on paper.
Yeah.
When they apply for a hostess.
Can I paint the silhouette against the wall? Just, like, stand right here? No, sorry.
That's right, yeah, it's a one-question interview.
It's actually a job that bothers me because of that. Like, I know everyone likes to look at pretty people, and that's what these restaurants are counting on, but it really does bother me sometimes when I look at the staff, and especially, like, the hostess staff, and I'm like, wow, they really had a formula in mind, because not only are you all attractive, but you all look really similar.
Yeah, let's step away from the hostess model, because that's not what I'm going for, even though that's what it sounds like. Let's put it this way. Okay, here's my personal ad. Bruce Wayne-like eccentric millionaire, minus the muscles and Batman fighting
minus
skills.
Minus Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, minus Bruce Wayne. Eccentric nouveau-rich geek seeks staff of cutting-edge, attractive scientists to build solar-powered city-slash-theme-park of the future, and also to have fun time at the end of the day with him.
Now, you didn't say female anywhere in that.
Well, I didn't want to sound sexist, but then here's the thing. I only want females, so, like, how do I work that in?
Well, everyone shows up for the interview, and you just, like, you know, judge attractiveness based off your personal preferences from that point.
There we go. Would that work, Eric?
I think you have to let guys apply.
It works until, because I assume you're going to look at resumes and find names, and it works until you get someone named Leslie.
Well, Leslie shows up for the interview, but then again, you know, of course, because we're indulging this teenage fantasy, I only hire women, but Leslie might be really cool, and I might hit it off, and I might hire Leslie anyway. Just Leslie gets the nights off, that's all.
He might wonder why you send him home early every day.
Hey, how come everybody else has to work extra hours? I want to put in my fair share of work. Now you're good.
I've done it. I've discovered the cure for cancer. I just need 2 more hours. Nope, gotta go home.
Sorry, quitting time. Oh God, I feel dirty after this. Like, I'm way too old to have engaged in that disgusting line of fantasy during our live recording of the Geekstravaganza podcast.
Yeah, but you can remind the audience that this is literally, like, the eccentric billionaire conversation. If that's the worst thing you do, and you're not berating races in front of your basketball team, you're doing okay.
Actually, that's true. I now have a sterling example, pun intended, of the absolute worst you can do when you become a billionaire. So as long as I'm not as bad as that guy, I'm good.
He set the bar pretty high.
What do you think, Brian? I mean, compared to that guy, I think I'm like a total, like, I'm enlightened.
Close enough.
I guess that's as close to an endorsement of my...
Everything's been consensual so far. You haven't required anything of them.
And nothing is required. There, you know, nothing is required. But I'm taking out kind of a personal ad slash employment ad mixed together. So I don't know. That would probably get me into legal trouble, but I would have a crack staff of lawyers to fend off all that.
It's just the exposure. You spend so much time with people, naturally you get to be friends.
Right. Like, hey, so you find me, like, handsome yet? Oh, no, not really. I'm not into you. Oh, yikes.
I think this brings us to, like, literally the next question, because we went there, is how crazy do you become? And if so, how do you avoid that crazy? Like, what are you going to do to try to stay normal? Or are you even going to try to stay normal?
Well, the first piece of advice I would give is steer away from any of the plans that we laid out here.
These sound like the actions of a reasonable person.
They do. So are you asking what a reasonable person would do to avoid becoming unreasonable? Or are you asking... I'm not sure what the question is.
Yeah, I don't know what the question is either. I think, yeah, like, what would you... Like, what kind of things would you remind yourself to do to stay Tom? Like, I'm not going to lose myself in all this money.
For one thing, don't hire scientists based on their looks and the likelihood of them being interested in a romantic partnership with you. That would be, like, rule number one. or that would be on the list of rules. And, you know, honestly, all kidding aside, I would just still be myself. Like, I don't think I would go out and spend extravagantly. I wouldn't be, like, rude to people or think that my newfound wealth meant I was entitled to things. I would do my best not to develop a sense of entitlement. What about you guys?
I would immediately grow out Doc Brown hair.
You would do
buy
that?
Buy a lab coat. Hell yeah.
Wait, how would that make you reasonable?
No, I'm saying I wouldn't.
Oh, you would avoid that. I misheard you. Okay. Grooming, definitely a way to keep yourself grounded.
Who wants to stay normal?
That's true.
What would I do to stay grounded? I think I would do really bizarre things, but I would do it with the purpose of staying grounded. Like, I would go to the movies with, like, a normal movie crowd. I wouldn't be like, oh, I'm going to arrange my own screening for this film. But at the same time, I would randomly cater the whole thing for everyone who has gone to this movie just without telling them.
Right, I would do stuff like, I would arrange a private screening, but then it would be open. Right, like, I would do something like that. Like, a new movie would come out, there'd be a private screening, but it wouldn't be private. One out of every so often ticket buyers would get to go to my screening, which would come with the catering you mentioned. That kind of stuff. Right? That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, just, I like the idea of positively surprising people.
Agreed. Would you do that? Would you do, like, nice community things like that, Brian? Like, for the geek community, let's say?
Yeah, maybe not for the geek community. What good's going to come out of that, though? Oh, I bought all the magic cards for these guys. Wow, everybody gets the new deck for free. No, you do that for the regular, like, events and things, and hopefully you catch some geeks.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the screening of a movie, or a new movie you like is coming out. One of the theaters it's showing in is yours, because you buy that block. And then you make the people who go into your theater, you know, have an extra special time. Give them some kind of prizes and food and stuff. That's what Eric's driving at. I don't know that I would give Magic the Gathering cards away to kids and stuff, because, you know, they would just be ingrates and wonder why they couldn't get two packs.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so did we not touch on any wild, audacious plans that you guys wanted to hit on? We got domed cities. We've got questionable staffing for our solar panel project.
This would be, just for my own personal satisfaction, as, like, a nerd or a geek or whatever, I've never been able to dress nicely and comfortably at the same time. So I would go out and buy, like, the cheapest, like, Target jeans and a bunch of cat t-shirts and have them, like, flown to Italy and tailored to fit me perfectly.
You have specially, like, tailored geek wear? That's awesome. What about you, Eric? Is that now, I'm going to totally steal that idea. I would have my own, like, wardrobe crafted perfectly for my body, yes.
And epaulets on everything.
Epaulets on your t-shirts?
Hell yes.
I love it.
I think part of me would go in the complete opposite direction that my brain goes now. And this may be the result of me going crazy with wealth. Because right now, I do whatever it takes to not dress up. Like, even at work, I do the bare minimum. I wear a collared shirt, I roll up the sleeves, I wear a nice pair of jeans, and I wear my cons. I mean, this is my dress attire for work. I would go the complete opposite, and it's, you were steering in that direction, only a little crazier, but I would just wear, like, the nicest clothes imaginable to the lamest events. Like, things that don't deserve it. Like, I would wear a tuxedo to a water park, and just wear it the whole time.
I would wear, like, a three-piece, I'd wear, like, a black tie, dress up to, like, go to Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
I love it. Yeah, the absurd dress, like, overdressing for everything.
Oh, yeah, top hat, tails, cane.
This is the last thing I think I want to get to. As we're going to Chick-fil-A and water parks dressed in whatever new fashions we've settled on, how are we getting there? What's your primary mode of transportation? Anything you want.
Now, is this dependent upon where we're going, or is this more like a what do you want your day-to-day vehicle to be?
What do you want your day-to-day local vehicle to be? How do you want to get from city to city, from continent to continent? How are you getting around?
When it comes to local, I would, and this is somewhere where I definitely think I would be different from the majority of people who obtain wealth, is I actually still, to this day, and I don't think this would change in my head, loathe the absurdly large vehicle that is absolutely unnecessary on our streets. Every time I see someone driving around in a big Suburban, and not like even the basic one, but the one that's been jacked up and has like double wide in the back and all that stuff, I cringe. I can't imagine what use it has, especially when it's polished, it looks brand new. They're obviously not using it for their job or construction. I just cringe. And I would feel the same way about a limo. I would feel the same way about a Hummer. All of those vehicles just essentially piss me off. What I would ultimately go with is a very nice luxury car that's purely electric.
Corgi sled.
So, like a Tesla, yeah, but I definitely would have something maybe a little more custom.
What was that you said, Brian? A sled of some kind?
A corgi sled.
Drawn by corgis? A team of corgis?
Yep.
Oh, not in Florida. I mean, if we're under the dome, then yeah, great. But
Yeah, only in LARP World would you use the corgi sled. Duh.
I mean, you would have enough money to breed some kind of Floridian corgi.
My corgis would wear air conditioner backpacks like Pen Pen.
Keep them cool artificially. I kind of dig the idea of some kind of an animal contraption, and I am with you, and not, I wouldn't want a big ostentatious car.
I like that the vegan wants animals to drag them around.
They're not dragging me around, they're my friends who want to take me places, they go with me.
You're carrying your cat everywhere. He can at least earn his keep.
Yeah, they need exercise, Eric.
Yeah, but that's me dragging my cat everywhere, not my cat dragging me everywhere. And on top of that, let's be honest, Oscar is not dragging himself anywhere. Have you met my cat?
He's a big fatso, yeah.
He's a big fatso.
I think that, okay, I would still need to take my exercise. So if I did some variation on Brian's corgi sled, they would drag me around, but then it would be reversible so that I could tow them around too. Is that fair?
That's fair.
It's not exploitation if you do it to yourself, right?
Correct, correct.
I'm down with that.
Apart from local transit, though, I think the obvious answer for me is I would have like a Final Fantasy style airship. Like I would have like a somewhat speedy Zeppelin made. I mean, they're only able to go so fast, but I would think being able to cruise around on a personal Zeppelin would be awesome.
Now, would you become so eccentric that you would like eventually just end up living in the Zeppelin and like refusing to ever come back down?
No, but I would definitely like, oh man, I would definitely, it would be a live aboard Zeppelin and I would definitely like go down to the surface world for diversion, and that was about it. Yeah, I'd be like, oh gosh, who was the eccentric billionaire in that Jodie Foster movie, that really good movie where she was like a space scientist?
Some Japanese guy.
Yeah. He only landed once in a while, like he spent all of his life in the air. Right. I would be like that guy, basically. Except Jodie Foster, like if I landed, she'd probably tell me to go away. Oh, awesome.
I actually have an exercise that may wrap this whole thing up that I thought would be amusing.
Exercise?
Yeah, a little fun little feat here, because we've been talking about the stuff we would do ourselves.
Okay.
I'm curious as to what you guys think, and of course what I think you guys would do. Like, I know you, Tom, pretty darn well, and if I had to guess the stuff that you would do, you haven't named any of it yet.
Okay, hit me up. So we're getting the exercises to guess what the other person would do?
Or based on what we know about those people, what we think they would do. So what I think you and Brian would do.
Oh, I love it.
You and Brian think I would do, and so on.
Okay, okay, you propose the exercises, Eric, so you go first. Tell me what I would do.
You would take out every Super Bowl ad. You would buy all of the ad space, and you would just use it to tell people to stop being so stupid.
Like PSAs?
Yeah, that's all it would be. Because for the most part, when I hang out with you, it's very clear that you think that 90% of humanity is just a waste of space and that you hate them and loathe them with all of your heart in the nicest possible way.
You know something? I think you're spot on with this, but I'll qualify it by saying I don't hate people. I hate people's behavior. And I think forced PSAs during like their, when the most eyeballs are on the screen, such as during the Super Bowl, would work really well to educate people so they wouldn't do stupid stuff all the time.
Yeah, I thought that'd be perfect for you.
Oh, it is. That's a great idea. Man. Lovely.
Like Tom's Own, The More You Know.
Right. Like here in Florida, for example, one of my biggest pet peeves is we get our little renewal stickers for our license plates, and they go in the upper right corner of your license plate, and that's it. They don't go anywhere else. They don't go in the lower left. They don't go in the upper left. They don't go in the lower right. They don't go in the center over the orange. They don't go wherever you want. They go in the upper right. Thank you. Enjoy the Super Bowl. That kind of commercial.
See, I think it would be more simplistic than that. Here's what I envision for this commercial is you standing in front of just white background. There, nothing is needed right there. You're holding a license plate in one hand. You're pointing to the top right corner with your finger on the other hand. And the commercial begins, and you're already in this position. And it just goes, or you just say, "It goes here, Jackwagon." And then you see the More You Know star go across the screen, and that's it.
I love it. Yes. Beautiful. Beautiful. I propose one more. One of my team of corgis takes a shit. You know, it's a white background, white floor. Corgi takes a shit. I walk up with a bag, pick it up, and throw it in a nearby receptacle. No words, and then I do a thumbs up. That's it. Pick up after your dog. Oh, man. Eric, you really nailed me on that one. That's good.
Can you yell? Actually, if you're going to include words in that commercial, can you just yell the words social contract at the screen, and then it does this?
Yes. Oh, God, yes. I could do a whole commercial on just these PSAs. This might be an episode. I could do a whole episode on it. My God.
I think we should film at least a couple of these.
I love it. When we get Ganza Productions off the ground pretty soon, I'm into it, man. Big time. You got any for Brian? Or you think I should be the one to do Brian's? Or you want to try both?
I think Brian would turn his whole house into a Warhammer scenario.
Whoa.
Like, you know, like the Warhammer setups that are the tabletop setups that are very intricate. Like, it would just be whole rooms full of that, just endless space.
What do you think, Brian? Could you do that? Would you see yourself doing something like that?
War Machine and not my house.
But you would have a house maybe dedicated to gaming, like a gaming house?
Yeah, like either a gaming store or an actual second residence where, yeah. You can make that the start of LARPville.
Oh, yeah, there you go. It all started with this modest 18-bedroom house. I love it. Those were good, Eric. Those were good.
It's not far off at all.
Brian, why don't you go next?
God, I'm stuck on Eric, man. I don't know. I see Eric doing something like very school-worthy, like, you know, a huge robotics program for middle schoolers or something like that.
I could definitely see myself doing that, but only if it was like, I mean, and I'll have the money to throw at the project so the kids, if they had the time, could do it. Like a STEM program where they just made giant mechs.
It's like an 18-foot robot fighting league.
Oh, that's perfect.
I love how all of our ideas would generate money in the long run.
Yes, indeed.
That could be like a new sports league.
I like it.
Yeah, and none of those little freaking wedge robots.
No, like full on.
To hell with that thing. Yeah, that ruined every robot fighting TV show.
Right, like, we're talking
build a wedge.
We're talking real steel quality robots here, right?
Well, if they're giant robots, you can easily overcome a wedge. Just like super weight one of the boots and just stomp on it.
Yeah, just stomp it to like smithereens. Yes.
Tom's isn't very grandiose, but I see you making a all-in-one gaming cabinet.
Oh, like all games in one?
Yeah, probably with a Raspberry Pi or something that you could run, you know, 30 different systems in one cabinet.
That's pretty grandiose.
Like mahogany wood and you know, velvet buttons and like the whole like fancy deal.
I dig it. I dig it, especially if it's like has like custom upholstered seats. So I'm like, I basically would want that to be kind of, what is it I'm trying to describe here? You know how the space jockey like sits in that badass like chair to do his like space jockeying in the Alien universe?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's kind of like, I've always wanted to be at the controls of some amazing apparatus, and in this case, it could be a plays everything like video game rig, where I just like call up on demand, play this for this system, and then it just, yes, master, and then the game begins. Oh, I dig it.
So you want it to have some level of AI built in.
Well, why not, while we're at it? I mean, Brian just got... Version 1 could just reside in the middle of Brian's gaming house as a demo, but once we build LARP Town, or LARPville, or whatever we're going to call it, it would expand from there to have AI, and then I would have a few of them. They would have, none of them would be as good as mine. I would have the best one in my special apartment that nobody could ever visit even after I died. But everybody, a lot of people, guests in LARPville could try that out.
Now, the being rich, not knowing what to do with your money, and having something with AI only brought one thing to mind, and it's the worst idea ever. And that is the robot from Rocky IV.
That's so stupid.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell they were thinking with that. And the thing is, I kind of like Rocky IV as a movie. I can't hate it. It's fun. And Dolph Lundgren's in it, and he usually makes things okay, except for the Punisher.
I'm glad you mentioned a movie just now, Eric, because I picture you with Limitless Money in some kind of a public shaming role for crappy movies. Like a Siskel and Ebert on steroids. So, for example, Independence Day 2 comes out. It's movie hour with Eric. And then you go on in a very reasonable discussion about the movie and its strong points and what's wrong with it 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 and what's wrong with it. And at the end, it ends with like some just grandiose condemnation of the movie. Like the main character is burnt in effigy, or a stack of the DVDs being exploded, or a movie theater like just hit with a cruise missile, you know, with the sign out front exploding, or, you know, you inserted into this some scene as a kaiju, like just stomping on the entire movie.
I'll take it a step further. This is fantastic, actually. This is really, really accurate. However, I would take it a step further, and if I was rich enough, because again, we're going with the idea of kind of limitless money here. If I was rich enough, not only would I do that show and tell people about how bad a particular movie was, because I'm rich, obviously I'm going to get a pre-screening of the film. And I would buy the rights to the film and shut it down before anyone else got to see it. I'd be like, this movie is awful. Society, no. You don't get this one.
Oh my goodness. So you would get veto power on movies. Like, this one is never seeing the light of day. I'm so sorry.
Yep, not going to happen.
I like that.
I really like that too. That's awesome.
Like, there wouldn't even be a ratings box, you know, in the corner of movies or posters or anything anymore. It would just be me with a thumbs up, or I would still let them put the poster out and just me, like, making, like, a sorry face. Like, sorry, folks, you don't get to see this. And I would still require that theaters put the poster up.
I dig it. Yeah, and then it's just a no, this isn't happening.
No. Nope.
You should know better. That would be, like, kind of a PSA in and of itself. Okay, for Brian, I think I have kind of a similar role as like a arbiter in mind, but it's more of a righting of past wrongs or punishing people for past wrongs. For example, an in-depth interview, an expose on the marketing staff at Sprite who thought that the Voltron hip-hop ad was a good idea, followed by, again, as with Eric's example, some form of public shame, humiliation, lecture, what have you.
Drawing and quartering.
Drawing and quartering. Figurative, perhaps. Followed by, like, the shutting down of the Sprite Corporation. Like, you don't get Sprite now. That's what happens. No more Sprite. Okay? You want to mess with me? No more Sprite. You want to keep screwing up the Hobbit movies? We'll get rid of the Hobbit, too. Bring it on. What do you think, Brian? Would you be the hammer of justice? Hammer of deep justice like that?
Yeah, I could do that, I think.
I do like that both of Tom's ideas were just like, we could use our money to shit all over democracy.
Well, it's great. Eric stops the bad shit from seeing the light of day. Brian, like, smashes the bad shit that slips past Eric's barrier. Yes, we shit all over marketplace democracy, because if there's ever, ever, ever any area of human existence wherein democracy fails, it's in entertainment. And those things enjoyed by the masses. So, with our limitless money, we would make a better entertainment ecosphere. Of course, after we gave to orphans and cancer and all that other fun stuff, and built our city of the future, and settled all of our sexual harassment lawsuits for our scientists.
Wow, Tom, you're a bad person. You're giving to cancer. You really should give to the people fighting it.
I did mean to say give to cancer research, but yeah, the only thing I would give to cancer is a quick death. How's that?
I would give cancer cancer.
I actually hate cancer, man. I mean, I know this is... I don't know if I'm moved down, but... Like, everybody should, but like, once it's affected somebody in your life, you grow to actually hate the disease. So I would, I would do Operation Kill Cancer. That's a good one.
You would declare war on cancer.
No, I would... Anytime we declare a war on something, we end up never winning. I would just, like, murder cancer with limitless money. With a knife.
Which, ironically, is kind of what we do with it now. And it doesn't work so well.
Well, my super rich, well-funded knife would kill it. But I think, speaking of killing things, we might want to kill this episode before we get way too preachy and or pissed off at cancer. So, anything else before we adjourn, fellas?
Yeah, I think we need to start a lottery pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's all three put in our dollars every week.
Would certainly help us get rich if we made the attempt, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing with the lottery. Like, you can't play if you don't win. Or, sorry, reverse that. You can't win if you don't play. Well, yeah, but, I mean, odds are you won't win even if you do. Like, it's such a tiny, tiny chance of winning. It's pretty much not worth it. But we can start a pool if you guys want. And, boy, what fun we'll have when we win.
Oh, the places you'll go.
Exactly, exactly. But I'll tell you what, audience, don't you go anywhere. Stick around for another week, and we'll be right back at you with another episode of the Nerdstravaganza podcast, unless you win the lottery, in which case you'll see us coming by in our hover ships or some such thing. Barring that, we recommend that you subscribe to our podcast, give us a favorable rating, and if you prefer a streaming solution, check us out on Stitcher.
Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, plus one us on Google Plus, and don't forget to join the Nerdstravaganza HQ, a group on Facebook for talking all about the episodes and what you'd like to hear and what you'd like to see and anything else that pops up.
To learn more about any of the topics discussed today... Wow, I said tonight like as if everyone's listening to this at night. That's okay. visit us at nerdstravaganza.com or drop us a line at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
And until next time, we'll be seeing you. Eric, Brian, you guys want to come on over? I got my money pool already. You want to do a little swimming?
I was thinking of a DuckTales reference, but I didn't have one.